Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I'm going to be reviewing Peacemaker Season 2. This is the finale. We're going to be combining both episodes, like A Heath in the Night and A Full Nelson. So this is going to be episodes 7 and 8. And hey, everyone, welcome to the show. So it's just going to be me today. So I just want to go on off the cuff and everything. I really liked Peacemaker Season 2, Episode 7, as far as that goes. I felt like that was more of a cohesive story. When you look down to the finale of this for episode 8, I feel like episode 7 is probably the perfect way to actually wrap up everything. But instead, we get episode 8, and we'll get into Full Nelson in a few minutes. Let me just tell you the few things I liked about episode 7. So I like how Chris is also blindsided by the whole entire deal of he's got everything back, and his father's back, his brother's back, and he's blindsided by this town and about how racist this town is. Chris and I actually broke everything down in the last episode, about maybe a week or so ago. But, you know, it's just the whole fact that Chris is so blind to the things around him that he doesn't see the big picture. And one of them is the fact that this town is racist. Not only are they racist, but they also worship Nazis. They also are worship of, Adolf Hitler. Chris doesn't even know what's going on around him. All he cares about is one thing and one thing only, and that is the fact that he's got his family back. He's got his brother back. He's got his father back. So little small details to him, he doesn't really care or notice it or anything like that. And up until you see, you know, once you actually get to see Amelia come into the picture and it's like, hey, look, you need to look around. All this racist stuff is going on. He goes, what do you mean? And he says, there's a Mein Kampf book on the table. Back when Hitler was in prison, he actually wrote a book called Mein Kampf, My Time in Prison. That's sitting on the desk as well. Then you also have the Nazi flag. Then you also have the neighbors also chasing down Amanda Waller's daughter as well. So there's a lot of racism within episode 7. And then Chris winds up flying himself out of the whole entire police station with Amelia Harcourt. And she winds up with Chris. And I love that moment of them on the motorcycle and her wrapped up around him. And it was just like that odd moment of like Chris finally got the girl he's been wanting. And it's not the girl from the dimension or anything. So I like the fact that, you know, Amelia Harcourt is actually the perfect woman for him. And it's not, and he doesn't have to go to another universe just to be with her. He's got the woman that he's wanting. But, you know, I also like how Judo Master is in this and he's saving Amanda Waller's daughter. And I also like how he winds up helping her out of the swimming pool. And she's like, well, why are you helping me? And he goes, well, I didn't think it was a fair fight. How's your day? Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, Javier. I do appreciate you coming in. And yes, you are the only one watching right now, but I'm sure there'll probably be a couple of others coming in soon or whatever. So how's your day going? That's what I want to know. How are you doing on this Sunday? Thank you for joining me. I hope that you enjoyed the last two episodes of Peacemaker. I hope that you stick around. But, you know, I just think that with Judo helping out Amanda Waller's daughter was actually a perfect way of actually doing it because, like I said, why are you helping me? Well, I didn't think it was a fair fight. So what does he do? He winds up helping her out at the swimming pool. He winds up electrocuting all the other people in the swimming pool. And I love that little dark moment of this humor that he has. He's like, well, I just broke my own record of how many people I actually electrocuted in the swimming pool. She goes, what do you mean? How many did you actually kill? 4. And I just bust out laughing over that. And Javier says, my day is going good. What was your opinion on that cliffhanger? We'll get into that in a minute. I just want to break down episode 7 on some of the things I liked about episode 7. Then we'll go into episode 8. You know, even though Chris isn't part of this universe, his dad still sees him as his son. Even though Chris killed his own self and stuff like that, his own father actually gets this. His own father just sees Chris for who he is and still loves him, it seems like. And his brother, on the other hand, wants to kill him because of the fact that, you know, Chris killed his brother in this universe. And it's just, you know, sad to actually see once again that, you know, basically him losing people around him. And it's just sad to see that. And why would he? Then also, too, how John is being tied up in that moment. And Eagly is walking around the kitchen and goes, "Hey, Eagly, save me, save me." And Eagly's just walking around the table. And then he's acting like he doesn't know anything. And of course, Chris's father's like, "No, you're going to tell us what's going on." And so, you know, come to find out, it's a different that they're from another universe. And now they're trying to get Chris and Amelia Hart, basically Amanda Waller's daughter and everybody else back into the other dimension. And I thought that was actually pretty cool on how the father is like, "Look, we need to get these people out of here." While the brother, on the other hand, doesn't want to do that. He also just wants to go on ahead and kill Chris for what he did to his brother. And I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, though, it's not going to bring his brother back. Even his own father said that, too. What's done is done, and I totally get it. And then I also like how Keith wants to, this is also what I want to talk about, too. Keith wants to kill Chris for killing his brother. Chris admits to wanting to see what it was like to have a family. I do like how the father isn't racist. I do like the speech that Chris's dad winds up giving everyone before he gets killed by Vigilante. And I love that moment of him having this great speech. And it's about him being able to protect the city that he loves while also protecting the family that he loves. And then at that moment, you have something that winds up happening in the background, and Vigilante winds up stabbing him in the neck over and over again. And the plus side to that is at least Chris didn't kill his father this time. It was somebody else that killed his father. So Chris has a little bit of guilt because of the fact that whatever he touches, something bad winds up happening to that person. So I totally get it. I totally get the grief and the guilt over that. But I also like the layers that John Cena was able to give us within this episode, where he's seen this chaos around him, where everybody is focusing on violence and things like that. And then whenever his brother is about to die and stuff too, he's like, "What the fuck is wrong with us? What is wrong with the picture here? What is going on with, on a deeper level with us?" And there's the pain, the emotion, and the crying. I felt really bad for Chris. I really have to say, John Cena did a really good job at pulling on the layers on that. Then after that, we wind up having the cliffhanger of where the door closes because the Vigilante winds up kicking the door back to where you don't see anything else that happens within the aftermath. You have Amelia Harcourt, who was also going to kill Chris's brother, but she doesn't because of the fact that everyone was coming in to bust in on them, and therefore she winds up going back over to the other dimension, you know. And then it shows Chris's brother going to the hospital and things like that. So it made me wonder, like, are we going to get him back in season 3 where he's hyped up on vengeance for Chris, or is he going to try and save Chris, especially with that cliffhanger? I do not know how they're going to go ahead and get him out of there, but it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm glad that your day is going good. Okay, so now we're going to get into episode 8, okay? This is what some of the things I have to say about episode 8, guys. So first, I just want to say John as Chris Smith and Peacemaker and Jennifer Holland as Amelia Harcourt have been great all season. And the moonlighting style and stuff like that, well, won't they? The plot finally comes to a chaotic place here. Gunn, who wrote the whole season and is in back to direct the finale, finally takes us back to the night on the boat that we've been hearing about the past 2 months, where Chris and Harcourt apparently hooked up in the drunken moment that at least one of them has seemed to regret. Gunn always, as a master when it comes down to weaving pop music into his narratives, what reveals that the night in position saw the two. And, you know, I just like the whole entire deal of now we actually get to see what's going on with them. But at the same time, though, I feel like it's a little too late for that. In my opinion, I think that they should have showed us that earlier to give us more context with it. And then they put it into a finale, and it just feels like a post-credit scene that was just totally misplaced. It feels like an extended post-credit scene that we would see at the very end of a movie. And I think that that would have been better placed and let episode 7 be the finale and just put that at the end credit scene. But instead, we get it in episode 8. And it doesn't feel cohesive to me. It should have let us off where we left off with episode 7, in my opinion. That's why I have a little bit of a continuity problem with the season 8. But that's just my opinion, though. I just didn't care that much about this season finale like I wanted it to, because it doesn't feel like a season finale. It just feels like just another episode, and that was it. Don't get me wrong. I think that what happened to Chris was horrifying and things, but at the same time, how does this lead into Superman? How does this come about into the other DC projects as well? That's what I would like to know in the future as well. You know, I just think that that's one of the things I didn't like, was the fact that I think that one part should have been in episode 7, or it should have been somewhere earlier to show us why Chris and her broke up, or what happened that night. But I understand that they're trying to give us context on what happens later on, because that's when Chris is like, wait, she's reeling into me. And things like that, especially when Amelia winds up telling him, hey, look, I love you. And then he has that hoorah moment in the hotel. But at the same time, though, I wish that they would have went on ahead and did like a little small flashback with it. And then he has that hoorah moment. But that's just my opinion. With Lex's team going through different doors of this reminds me of Monster Incorporated, because they're looking for other dimensions and other places. And we don't know why they're looking for this or the other dimension or anything like that. We're just as blind as the people that are working for Flag. But at the same time, though, it just feels like as a here and there situation. It's like, okay, why should we care even more about this? Because it's just like all of a sudden Flag just turns from being vengeance against Chris to wanting to find this dimension. And then we find out that he wants to put Chris in this dimension and arrest him. I just wish that it was just built on the fact that, you know, I got want to get vengeance on my son. And then he beats the crap out of him during the interrogation scene. And that's it. I thought that would have been the end of it. But no, he still is hung up on this whole vengeance thing. And I just don't think that actually matched up to what I wanted this to be. I think it's just the whole expectations and the execution of what I wanted it to be. And that's my fault for expecting something when it's already happened. So that might be something that I need to maybe go back and check for myself. But that's just the way I'm looking at it. Everything with this episode seems just to happen with no rhyme or reason. I love when they open up the door and then you see this giant mushroom. You also see this Candyland kind of feel. And it reminds me of like Wizard of Oz, but it also has like a Candyland board game kind of doorway. I just thought it was kind of fascinating, kind of weird. But also, too, you have all these other little creatures coming in at them and killing them. And then while that's happening, you have another montage later on where everybody on this team is getting eaten up by these monsters. And then you have Rick Flag and his team just celebrating over the paperwork, celebrating over everything. While there's nothing but chaos within this whole entire all the doors and stuff. And everybody's getting killed, and he doesn't give two craps about what's going on either. All he cares about is trying to find this dimension, find this other Earth that we can place other people in, and that's it. And he's just such a douchebag when it comes to that, because even John is witnessing all this chaos and everything around him as well. And it's just sad to see that they don't even care about the things that are going on around them. And even the people that once we find out that, you know, Rick is actually setting up a prison for metahumans, then even the people who he wants them to approve it, he goes, wait, you're just one step away from being Lex Luthor and stuff. They're like, why are you doing this? Well, he might be a bad guy, but he has some good ideas. It's just that his ideas were flawed. I'm going to try and carry those out now. And, you know, they get it approved, but Rick is so tied into the fact of being on vengeance to the point where he doesn't see what he's doing. That's how I'm seeing it. But I just don't like where this episode was going the whole entire time. Then you also have this other scene that happens. Hold on. Rick wants to make a prison and call it Salvation and put metahumans in it, because he tells Amelia Harcourt about Flag is making a prison, and they both quit Argus and they make their own called Checkmate with Bardo and Flurry and Judo Master. So my thing with that is the fact that I just think that it was like too much montage within this episode in itself, that it pulls you out of it a little bit, because I think the montages weren't there to actually do anything. I just feel like it was just there for being there. I just didn't like that. I just felt like the pacing was off with that. Then Lee is realizing that it's time to say goodbye to her partner, where it's not fair to be with someone that is happy while the other person is. So I like the fact that Lee finally has closure with her partner. I do like that part because of the fact that why are you going to be with someone that doesn't appreciate you? And also, too, why do you want to be with someone that also wants to make you change when this is who you are and nobody really sees you for who you are? So it's not fair for her partner to be happy while also Amanda Waller's daughter being miserable. So I understand that. I really like the closure between them two. Then you had the big mistake was getting John to distract Flag's team, which I thought was funny because they're trying to find a location of Chris. And I just thought it was funny because he's just coming off with off the wall nonsense about a football game. And then you also have the lobster that walked into a bar and the bartender says, "What the fuck are you doing here?" So I like those comedic moments with John and him being awkward and trying to tell jokes while Amelia and also Red Flag's girlfriend is both trying to locate Chris. But I even have to agree with John on this. It should have been Hardcourt that should have been doing the talking because John is what he's good at. He's good at IT work. He's good at hacking. He's good at all that stuff. But he's not good with conversation. He's not good with telling jokes. He's not good at trying to distract someone. But I like the fact that he even brings it to their attention. Hey, look, I'm not good at this. It makes it even more funnier to me. Then you also have Chris blaming himself for people dying around him, but technically Chris didn't kill his dad in the other universe. It was Adrian that actually killed his dad. Then 1 week later, they make their own agencies. I do like the now this is actually one of the ones I'm probably like, where you actually had the montage set up where they're setting up the agency and stuff like that, and that part worked. It was the part where you had Amanda Waller's daughter trying to explain to Rick Flag Sr.'s girlfriend about what they want to do and how they want to build stuff, do things and things like that with this agency that they're trying to make. That was the one thing that I wish that they didn't do. I wish they would actually give us some dialogue into what their plans are, even though we might get that later on. I just wanted a little bit more context without the montage, without the music and stuff. But I do like this whole entire deal where you have Flory, you have Judo Master and all them being part of this Checkmate agency and Rick Flag being in the center of it, being represented with this agency. And then I do think...
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
That there's going to be consequences with Rick Flag working with Lex going into Superman. And I was like, well, how is this going to lead into Superman? And I was one of those people too. I know that I said that earlier, but I was like, how is this going to lead into the sequel of Superman? This has everything to do with the consequences and everything that Rick Flag Sr. is doing and dealing with what's going to happen with Rick Flag later on. So I think that's what's going to happen. Also, too, we're dealing with maybe a team up between Lex and Superman, possibly in this next Superman movie where, you know, it's like, yes, I am the big bad guy. But at the same time, though, we need to team up because there's someone bigger and badder than who I am. So right now we're going to be frenemies and then we're going to bring this down. And then after that, we're going to continue business like we normally do where I'm the bad guy and you're going to have to come after me. That's how I think that Superman 2 is going to happen. So now we actually have where Chris is now caught and captured and arrested, and he's thrown into this meta human prison. And I really, on that cliffhanger, I'm just wondering, how is he going to get out of there? They've went through other doors. No creatures or anything like that are in this one. So supposedly up until Chris is now in that door, and you can hear other creatures, other things that could possibly kill him. So they don't even know what's in these doors. And also, too, they weren't even in that door long enough to even consider, hey, look, there's other animals, other species in this thing that could kill somebody. All they care about is getting rid of metahumans and saying goodbye. And that's just how heartless that Rick Flag is and this team is. You know, but Javier, what do you think of this? What do you think of this finale? Did you like it? Did you not like it? I'd like to know. Tell me in the comments, dude. But yeah, I just didn't really feel like this was a finale that I was expecting out of it. I was expecting more closure, but I think that we might actually see Chris's brother show back up again. And I think that it'll be in season 3 that it will show up, right? And I was like, well, I don't, what happened with that whole entire deal? I thought the Nazi thing would show back up again. I thought the universe would actually come into this. No, they closed all those doors, pun intended, in episode 7. And that's it. And now we're primarily focused on this season, on what's going to happen in season 3. Let's see. Javier says, I thought it was very underwhelming and James Gunn overhyped it way too much. Yeah, I do agree, because even my friend Chris, who actually joins me for these after shows, we both felt the same way. We're like, why? Where's the tie-in for this? I'm like, well, the only thing he mentioned was Lex, and we actually got that already. So there was nothing really to be excited about. And yes, I'm afraid for Chris, but at the same time, there has to be so much more to this than meets the eye. The finale felt so, felt so filler, and yet they were also rushing future plot points. I think they closed the door for everything that happened in that universe, and then focused on this other thing now. And I'm sorry, Chris just being stuck there in that cliffhanger wasn't enough for people to draw in to see what's going to happen next. I think there should have been something else. I think there should have been another big bad or something that happens at the very end, or some type of ripple effect that happens when you open these doors and have consequences within that. Because we actually had consequences in Superman where it had, because everything that Lex did caused a ripple effect, put a hole in the earth. This doesn't have no consequences because of the fact that they have that portable portal thing that they have. Because Chris winds up giving it over to Rick Flag, thinking that was going to ease the tension off of him and admitting that he was wrong for using it. But no, instead, that made Chris even more of a bigger target. I just felt like it was just, I think we needed at least one more episode to really flesh out something. Let's see here. Javier says, this season lacked a big bad villain that Peacemaker and his gang could confront in the last episode. You see, even at the beginning of the season, right? I was wondering, I was even asking Chris, I was like, where's the big bad? Because there has to be some other big bad within this universe, especially when they're opening different portals to different doors and stuff like that. There's got to be something that gets out. But no, nothing gets out. Nothing happens. All it is Chris wanting to see his family again and realizing what he has in front of him and the friends and family that he has in front of him. And nothing can change his past. He has to look forward rather than backwards. And that's what this episode was, the season was mostly about, was self-healing and being able to accept things for what they are. Because just because you have things great in this other dimension and stuff doesn't make it to where everything is great. Because look what happened. That universe, Hitler won the World War II. You also have racist people in there, but also worse than what was in the Earth that Chris is from. No diversity within that universe or anything like that. So that made that place a lot more darker than what the Earth that Chris lives on. So you have that going on. But yeah, there was no big bad guy or anything like that. All it was self-reflection on Chris and realizing, hey, look, I have it bad over on the Earth that I live at, but it's not as bad as what's over there. Yes, I got my brother back and I have my father back, but at the end of the day and everything, why do I need to go on ahead and live here when I have all my friends that supports me back on Earth now? And that's just him just basically coming to terms with his own self and his own self-reflections and his own guilt and stuff. So it's more of like a psychological, if you think about it, more of a psychological season for Chris to give us more from him and realizing, hey, what I'm doing, I'm still changing, but I have to still change one day at a time. It does not happen all the time. And I need to stop self-reflecting back on guilt, because guilt only gets me so far, because if I wasn't feeling guilty, I would not be going on ahead and try to go into this universe and be part of something that I don't need to belong in, even though I have my family and I have that closeness with that family And I do like the fact that the father is not a racist in this universe. And I like that. I like the fact he was still trying to protect him, even though he's not his son. And in his own father's eyes, he sees Chris as his son. So I like that building that they did with him. And then you have Chris's brother, who's just bent on, like Red Flag is, on vengeance because of him killing Chris and killing himself, basically. But it was just. I wanted more from this season. I was expecting a big bad. I didn't get a big bad. Still, I was like, I'm here for the ride. If this is where you're going to get me, I'm going to go with it. But yes, it's not as good as season one, but it's still okay. I felt like the very first couple of episodes was nothing but SNL skits versus it being a cohesive storyline at the very beginning. Yes, I laughed. Yes, I chuckled. Yes, I was entertained. But at the same time, though, I want to be fed something that I can actually really go on, because all it was just an SNL skits the whole entire season up until you get to episodes 6 through 8. And by then it's like, okay, are people going to bail out now because of the lackluster of those 3 episodes? Or are they going to still stick with it even after the finale, or even with episode 4 or 5? See, okay. So let's see. Javier says, season one felt like a standalone, while season two just felt like a building up for Superman. Yeah, I do feel like it was building for Superman, because even James Gunn said that certain events within this season is going to build towards Superman. And I get where they're going as far as that goes. But yes, you had a little sprinkle of Lex. Yes, you had the metahuman prison and stuff. And that's it. There was not really enough to really say, how does this connect and correlate with consequences coming into Superman part 2, other than the consequences of Rick Flag and the stuff that he's doing with the government and him trying to shun away metahumans. And by the time that Rick Flag's girlfriend, who's also a metahuman, comes to realize, oh, look, I'm actually screwing this up because of the fact that I'm a metahuman and he can get rid of me at any time. So by then the light bulb comes on, and by then it's too late, because Chris is over there, already has all the everything, not Chris, but you have Rick Flag, who has everything that he needs. Nobody knew why he wanted this universe or anything like that, why they were going through doors up until the finale. So it's just sad to see that happen. And now we're faced with the consequences of him working with Lex Luthor. And that's like the only thing that I can see that's going through Superman 2 as far as that goes. What do you think, Javier? I mean, are you going to stick with it? What's your plan as far as wanting to see more of Peacemaker? Because I like to actually know that. And also, too, are you excited about Superman 2? Because I am still excited about Superman 2. It's just, I want to know the context of the story and what they're trying to build and what they're trying to do as far as that goes. I just think that this season finale just felt like another episode. It didn't really feel like anything I want. I also like how the near ass kicking that Harcourt is ready to give that random dude outside the Big Belly Burger is thwarted because of Chris and how his outlook on life, look at the moon, look at the stars, serves and illustrated why Harcourt might fall for the big lug between that and being caught up in the magic of Nelson. How could she not? Of course, Harcourt and the Lemon Street Kids use that same Chris vibe to bring him out of his funk later in the episode when he's at his lowest and under the impression that he's cursed because all of the bad things that have happened around him. I believe in the miracles because of you. I saw an eagle hung a human, Daniel Brooks, who plays Ads, and she cries, and it's not in a funny way. It's in a man, these guys do all love each other kind of way, but it still comes back full circle. And, you know, I just think that they could have done a better job. Let's see here. If this is the last season for Peacemaker, I'm absolutely devastated. I could see them doing a Checkmate or maybe a Salvation series. I think that this is not going to be the last Peacemaker series. I think that we might actually get a Peacemaker series with a Checkmate spinoff show of Peacemaker. That's what I'm kind of hoping for, because I love Peacemaker. I just didn't like what they were doing as far as the finale goes. I also like how the near ass kicking that Harcourt is ready to give the random dude us. But yeah, it all comes back to Chris and Harcourt, the later of whom finally admits that, yeah, of course, the night of the boat meant something and meant everything. Unfortunately, not much else in this episode comes together as well, as Chris Harcourt with Frank Grillo's Rick Flagg Sr. really coming across as a kind of a mess of a character at this point. Did I miss something? Why was he having a jolly good time with the rest of the staff of Lex Luthor's old command center while people that he worked for are working for him, and he's just having a good time watching everybody die around him? Also, Peacemaker fell sidelined in the final episode for some reason. Yeah, it did seem like he was kind of sidelined just so that way they can kidnap him and putting him into that other dimension, so the way other people can try and save him. That's how I felt, because it's like, okay, we got to bail Peacemaker out of jail. They bail him out of jail with Adrian's money. And then once they bail him out of money, it's like, oh, snap. Now he's kidnapped. Now now nobody knows where he's at or anything, because they have no way of tracking him because he's in the other dimension. No one's going to give him up. No one's going to say where he's at. So I wonder what's going to happen with that. I do feel like that he was sidelined. He was just a thing that brought us up to the finale, and that was it. But yeah, here's the thing. I want to say something good about the finale, and I'm hoping that I'm not being too critical or anything. It's just, it wasn't what I wanted. Then you also have, and certainly that has to be where Peacemakers, the show connection to Man of Tomorrow, comes in, where Red Flag Sr. now hanging so tightly with Lex's old henchman and admitting that he doesn't like the billionaire villain, but he is the smartest man in the world. Why not use his brain to make a world a better place, which is dangerous? That was actually against what Red Flag was even part of to begin with. Then there's a scene between Ads and her wife, Kia, which is well played, but also feels like a little too late, as the problems that the couple have faced just doesn't get enough room to breathe over the past 8 episodes. And as far as Freddie Stormans, Veljelani, and Steve Agrees, John Economos, well, again, they had some fun moments in this season, in this episode, but that's about it. Of course, this is John Cena's show first and foremost, but in an ensemble cast like this just needs to be a little bit more attention. Speaking of fun, getting to see Foxy Shazam perform the season's title track back on that same rock cruise is pretty cool, even though it's a haircut in the montage, intercut in the montage, I mean, that sets up the group's creation. Checkmate the new super spy org that they're going to be running. They said, I'm not sure that I've fully followed the thread that led to the decision to just up and launch their own covered ops groups. It comes in that moment when Harcourt and the rest are pleading with Chris to get back on track, but still, it just falls out of place. And while we didn't go back to the Nazi planet, like I mentioned, at all this week, or get to visit from David Dinsman's Keith Smith, we have to assume this isn't the last we've seen of that character. It is a bit of a letdown that this particular story is left so open-ended here, and also that Guns didn't grace us with the last big action scene this week. Instead, Chris being stranded by Rick Sr. on Salvation has to pass for our big QUC twist, and there's no denying that the prospect of Chris having to fend for himself Castaway style with nothing but the Foxy Shazam shirt on his back is entirely as an enticing setup for season 3. The whole season, I just feel like it has good moments, but it's not the strongest season. So there you go, guys. But that's everything that I have to say as far as the season goes. But guys, if you guys are watching or anything like that right now, tell me what you guys think. Did you like this season? Did you not like this season? Do you feel like this, like how Javier and I feel about this right now? Tell me in the comments. I would like to actually know what you guys think. Javier, thank you for commenting and just being interactive, because I love doing this and I love interacting with you. Is there anything else that you want to touch on as well? That's what I'd like to know too. I'm going to stay on here a little bit. Also, Peacemaker fell. So I think that's everything I wanted to cover. If there's not any other questions or anybody else in this live chat or anything, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to close out, but I hope everybody else has a great and safe Sunday. Don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe button. Also too, we're going to be doing a live review of The Faculty coming up. So we have that going on. I also have a villains bracket coming up as well. So everything is out on the YouTube community post. So go in and check out the schedule over there. And always until next time, guys, have a great, safe day. And thank you again, Javier. Thank you so much for commenting and all that other good stuff. I do appreciate it. And always until next time.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.